Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ready from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Conversations Between Maitreya and Vidura, Text Number 13. Raja Pradhanan Mahatas Trilingo Deva Chodita Jata Sasar Jabutadir Viyadadini Panchasaha Raja Pradhanan Mahatas
Raja Pradhanan Mahatas
Trilingo Daiva Chodita
Trilingo Daiva Chodita
Jata Sasarja Bhutadi
Jata Sasarja Bhutadi
Viyad Adini Panchasaha
Viyad Adini Panchasaha
Raja Pradhanat in which the element of rajas or passion predominates.
In which the element of rajas or passion predominates.
Mahataha.
Mahataha.
From the Mahat-tattva.
From the Mahat-tattva.
Trilingaha.
Trilingaha.
Of three kinds.
Of three kinds.
Deva-chodita-t.
Deva-chodita-t.
Impelled by superior authority.
Impelled by superior authority.
Jataha.
Jataha.
Was born. Sasarja,
evolved,
Bhuta Adihi,
the false ego,
origin of the material elements, Viyat, the ether, Adini, beginning with Panchasaha, in groups of five. As impelled by the destiny of the jiva. Daiva choditat. Maybe not exactly. As impelled by the destiny of the jiva, the false ego, which is of three kinds, evolved from the mahat tattva, in which the element of rajas predominates. From the ego, in turn, evolved many groups of five principles. From the ego, in turn, evolved many groups of five principles. Purport. The primordial matter, or prakriti, material nature, consisting of three modes, generates four groups of five. The first group is called elementary and consists of earth, water, fire, air and ether. The second group of five is called tanmatra, referring to the subtle elements, sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste and smell. The third group is the five sense organs for acquiring knowledge. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. The fourth group is the five working senses, speech, hands, feet, anus and genitals. Some say that there are five groups of five, One group is the sense objects, one is the five elements, one is the five sense organs for acquiring knowledge, another is the senses for working, and the fifth group is the five deities who control these divisions. I'll read on. Text number 14. Separately, unable to produce the material universe, they combined with the help of the energy of the Supreme Lord and were able to produce a shining egg. For over 1,000 years, the shiny egg lay on the waters of the causal ocean in the lifeless state. Then the Lord entered it as Garbo, Dakshay, Vishnu. Purport: from this verse it appears that all the universes are floating in the causal ocean. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, what comes first? Who comes first? Or who's next? This subject matter is described in the previous verse, Durvitakena. Difficult to understand, or beyond empiric speculation. Why is that? Why is the creation difficult to understand? Anybody know? I take it you won't understand it then. Why is it difficult to understand? Prabhupada says here, you can't speculate about it. It needs to be received through an authority. What is the example that Srila Prabhupada gives? If you want to know who your father is, who do you ask? Your mother. Your mother should know. So, creation of the material universes is a mystery, especially because it is a manifestation of our desire. And that's hard to understand. Why would we want to suffer so much? Material world is a place of great inconvenience. It's a struggle for existence. Even to do the most simple things requires a lot of effort. So, how is it that we are the cause of this creation? It's much easier to blame God. He's the Adipurusham. So it must be his fault, because he's the beginning of everything. So therefore he must also be the beginning of our suffering. That's logical, isn't it? But lacking detail, lacking information. Yes, Krishna is the origin. And from, well, he is the Param Brahman and we are the little Brahman. The Jiva Atma. He is the Param Atma and we are the Jiva Atma. And this is quite astounding when you think about it. We stay in the material world because of our desires, not because he wants it, but because we have this strong desire to enjoy the material energy. And then as a consequence of those strong desires to be separate from Krishna, we are forced to be implicated in the reactions to our inappropriate, independent activities. So, daiva choditaha, this is the words that are mentioned here, impelled by superior authority. So, yes, in one sense, we know there's a superior authority that has got us trapped. Right? No matter how much we try to wiggle, unless we're serving Krishna, of course, but if we, no matter how much we try, we cannot overcome the reactions of our past karmas. And the Lord is the witness. He, what is it? Ishvaraha sabhabhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati. Brahmayam sabhabhutanam yantra rudhani mayaya. He's directing the wanderings of everybody who is situated as if on a machine made of the material energy. And that's what's being described here. How the false ego, which comes about as a result of this desire to act or to exist separately from Krishna as an independent enjoyer, because of that desire, we have to suffer the consequences. And those consequences are ordained by the Upadrashta and the Anumanta, Bharta Bhakta Maheshwaraha, the controller. Upadrashta means the overseer. This is where we get this word uber. Uber means over. English is over. German is uber. And Sanskrit is upa, the over, the topmost, upadrashta, the one who sees everything, anumanta, bhata bhakta maheshwaraha, the master, the enjoyer, the controller, the permitter, the overseer. Anumanta is the permitter. When we desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna facilitates that. We can't get rid of desire. Right? Not possible. But what our job, a lot of our business, is changing desire, purifying desire, from desires to enjoy independently and suffer the reactions to desires to work cooperatively with Krishna. That's our proper position. When we desire to be independent, we're like a cog that falls out of the machine. It still is a cog, right? But the cog out of the machine is useless. Put the cog back in the machine and then its function is perfected. Its purpose is perfected. But when the cog falls out of the machine, it has its independence, but it has no useful existence. What's the other example Prabhupada gives of the finger, right? The finger attached to the hand is properly situated and works for the benefit of the whole body, right? But if you separate your finger from the hand, it still remains a finger, but it has no connection to the body. So we need to be reconnected, if you like, using all of these features or all of these facilities for Krishna's pleasure and for ours also, you know, not that we can't enjoy also, because we're pleasure seekers. Krishna's a pleasure seeker, we're pleasure seekers. He has desires, we have desires. The desires just have to be purified. So, the destiny of the jiva is determined by our desire. Huh? Want to be separate? Okay, suffer. Want to work cooperatively? Okay, now you have a chance to enjoy. Of course, in the material world, there's no such thing as enjoyment, actually. But when we're engaged in devotional service, which is part of our Satchit Ananda form, then we uncover, or we will uncover, the natural ananda that exists automatically in our identity, in our personality. It's already there. What does Prabhupada say? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is it? Sudha Chitte Shravanadi Karaye Udoy Krishna Prem Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunoy. The love of Godhead exists in us, but it's covered over. When our desire to act independently from Krishna is cultivated or is inflamed, if you like, by the mode of passion, then we're automatically then covered. And here it is. How? The false ego covers us. First covering, ahankara. What are we? We are aham brahmasmi. Is that right? We're spiritual by nature. Not ahankara, this body. I am the doer. Krishna's the doer. Right? Only by this covering of the false ego, we start to think, I'm the doer. But actually, we're not the doers. That's, what is that? That's pranamaya, right? Pranamaya. I kick the football, therefore I am. Right? I hit the cricket ball, therefore I am. Look at me. But actually, the consciousness of the living entity is meant to be elevated. When we're influenced here by the mode of passion, then we're given the material body to exercise our desires. First of all, we get the false ego, then we get, and which is of three kinds here. What are those three kinds? False ego in three kinds. What's that referring to? Influenced by what? Speak up. Huh? Three modes of material nature, yes. Goodness, passion and ignorance. Mode of goodness tends to elevate us. Mode of passion keeps us amongst the men, the human beings who are always, well, influenced by the mode of passion, they're behaving like animals. Influenced by the mode of goodness, then the tendency is to want to elevate the consciousness to the point of understanding aham brahmasmi. But with the influence of the lower modes, passion and ignorance, then it becomes ahankara. Right? I'm the doer. Ahamkara. Ahamkaro. I am doing. Just see how I am doing. So, as a result of this mode of passion, wanting to enjoy, then one is given a body. One is given a body. All different types of bodies. Now, this is Krishna's unique arrangement, is that he's able to provide a unique body for each one of us according to our unique set of desires. Right? No one of us is the same. We're all different, and we each one of us have our own peculiar set of impetuses or desires. And so, by a combination of these three modes of material nature and with these different elements, we're all given different bodies. More influenced by the mode of ignorance, then down you go. Right? To the point where your identity is practically unseen. Right? You become a germ. Right? What is it? Indragopa. It's considered to be the lowest. Right? You can't even see them. We breathe them in. I just killed off, you know, a few million living entities. Right? Talk about non-violence. Forget about it. Just walking around, we're a walking disaster. Right? So, as one's elevated, as the mode of passion rises, then one is elevated into the animal species, and then into the human species. Actually, animal species are considered still to be ignorance. Right? Because why is the animal species considered to be ignorance? Really, in ignorance. Any idea? Loudly. What's it? Yeah. Well, no opportunity for self-realization. None whatsoever. Although, mind you, special circumstances in the case of Judd Barrett or Maharaj, who was the elephant? Gajendra. Who was Gajendra in his previous lifetime? Chitraketu? Inarjuna. Maharaj Inarjuna committed an offence, became an elephant, but because of his devotional service, the same with Judd Barrett, could remember his devotional service. Do you see, this tells us that bhakti is superior to even the modes of material nature. And even if you're in an animal body, if you're engaged in devotional service, then you can actually transcend what would be the ordinary course of affairs according to the modes of material nature. But even for a devotee who takes birth in an animal, they get an opportunity to remember Krishna. Mata smriti jnanam apavanam cha. For me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Krishna is the doer in that sense. So animal species, generally ignorance. The human species, generally passion. But there's a mixture. And that's in the human species we see the degradation, especially in Kali Yuga. We see the degradation of the human form because everybody's behaving like a bunch of animals. Right? On, was it Saturday night? Was it Friday night? The youth of Melbourne displayed its, you know, base qualities. They just went downtown to have a fight. Right? Moomba, let's go down and have a fight with somebody. Right? This is animal consciousness. Right? Animal consciousness. But dvipada pashu, two-legged animals. You know, basically, when we see most people walking down the street, they look like human beings. You know, they've got their suit on, nice clothes, high-heeled shoes, you know, handbag, Gucci, or whatever, Coach, right? And so, you know, they're feeling all sophisticated, But actually, if we see with the eye of Shastra, we can see no better than an animal. Right? All the people that you have to deal with today, basically animals. Behaviour. Animal behaviour. The human potential is still there. And so therefore the Varnashram system, according to the combination of the modes of material nature, then, you know, we have, you know, deep tamas means, you know, humans behaving like animals. Then as the mode of passion rises, or the mode of goodness rises, then we see in individuals the potential for positive behavior. And that's what the Varnashram system's for. Basically identifying the qualities of an individual, then engaging those qualities, those propensities, in activities that will elevate the living entity to the mode of goodness. The whole purpose is to get to the mode of goodness, so that one can then cultivate vidya as opposed to avidya, to cultivate knowledge. And be able to see through these, to be able to understand this perplexing problem, durvitarkena. This perplexing problem. Difficult to understand. How did I get here? You mean I wanted this? How could I have wanted to suffer so much? Why? Okay. Vidura and Maitreya are discussing how the living entity can get free from this confusion, from this avidya, or free from this deva chotitaha, the power or the impetus or the push of our destiny. Very powerful, insurmountable. Like Devi Hiesha Gunamayi, Mama Maya Duratyaya. Krishna says, impossible to actually overcome this energy. Not possible. Maya has been empowered by Krishna to keep us all in illusion. However, if we surrender to Krishna, then this material facility, what's the first ingredients that are provided for us? The elementary elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, make up this body. Right? Although, actually, they're inert matter. And so don't move in and of themselves, just like we, you know, all of these elements were combined together to make the material universe, but without the help of the Supreme, without being empowered by the Supreme Lord, the material energy can't act by itself. Right? It's amazing, actually, in one sense. The material energy is dull, inert matter. Right? And we're the spirit soul. So how come we get covered over? It's because we're the little Brahman, and the little Brahman has this quality. If we become attracted to the material energy, it will cover us over. The Parabrahman never gets covered by the material energy. Never, ever. He empowers the material energy to cover us. And when we want to forget our relationship with Krishna, then we're covered over. Pretty much straight away. That's it. And we get the body made, first of all, of these elementary elements. Earth, right, matter, water, liquids, fire, kinetic energy, like electricity or fire, right, and air. You can feel the air. You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it either. You smell something else. We smell something else. That what's in the air. So, it comes, and the smell comes from earth, right? actually comes from earth. So earth, water, fire, air, and ether, space. Krishna creates three-dimensional space. And within that, he packs everything else. In it goes, these elementary elements. Then, that's the first group of five. Then the second group, tanmatra, related to the first, are the subtle elements, the sense objects. So, sound. Sound is related to and is a product of ether. And the next element is touch, which comes from air that fills up the ether. Right? You can feel it. Feel the air. What comes next? Form. When you light gases, which are in the air, right? Boop, you get a flame. So there you get form. Form, we get next liquids. There's a description of how each one of these combinations produces the next. And I guess we'll read on. I didn't have enough time last night to look forward, but would make an interesting. You could spend a few days researching this process and coming up with the whole schema or the whole, you know, combination of all of these elements to produce the body that we've got now, right? So then from liquids we get taste, right? And then from the earth we get fragrance, right? Have you ever dug up the garden? What do you get? Well, those who haven't dug up the garden don't know, probably. But you get the fragrance of the earth. It's a very rich, rich smell. And it's amazing, you know, we have plants. And plants are able to extract, you know, the essential elements of the earth and produce flowers with beautiful fragrances. Right? Plant is a very unique creature, covering of the false ego. But even a plant that produces a flower with a pleasant fragrance can be used in Krishna's service. You know, there's this big thing about, you know, everything should be ahimsa, right? Non-violence. But come on, if we don't pluck the flowers off of the flower plant, he gets no benefit. But we pluck the flower, ooh, that's violence, right? But we use it then to offer to Krishna. We benefit, and so does the plant. If we were to be non-violent, we wouldn't do anything. Huh? We forget that wherever we go, we're crunching up millions of germs on the floor, breathing them in. We're a killing machine, basically. And there's karma for that. If it's not used in Krishna's service, then there's karma. When it's used in Krishna's service, then it becomes akarma. Now, that doesn't mean you can just do anything you like. Oh, I'm doing it for Krishna, she'll be right. No. There are guidelines, right? There are parameters within which we can work for Krishna and be purified. Doesn't mean that you can just do anything you like. That's called anarchy. But the Vedic culture, the Vedic construct, is that life is meant to be ordered and structured. It has a purpose. Like Prabhupada says, one who knows the purpose of life is a sadhaka. He knows that acting in a particular way will get me the result that I want. Acting in a whimsical way will get me a result that I definitely won't want. And so therefore we don't behave capriciously, we behave in a structured, ordered way. Right? You know, if you hand in all of your assignments, if you do your homework, if you read the textbooks, if you do what your professor tells you to do, if you do what your tutor tells you to do, then at the end you're going to get good marks. Right? That's a formula. And it works. Don't go to lessons. Don't hand in any of your assignments. Go out partying on a Saturday and a Sunday night and come home at 5 o'clock in the morning. And what kind of a result will you get? Right? You can come and pray to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please let me pass my exam. Right? But if you haven't done the work, forget it. Right? There's a process. So the human form of life is given to us so that we can work out what the process is. And we're given these facilities. So the material energy, the subtle elements, the five sense organs for acquiring that knowledge, eyes for seeing the form, ears for hearing the sound, nose for smelling the fragrance, tongue for tasting the prasadam, right? And the skin for feeling. Right? So you can do up the buttons on your kurta or whatever. Write. Read. And then the fourth group, the five working senses, because Krishna has to arrange all, well, he doesn't have to, but he does, to facilitate the personality of the living entity and to facilitate our desire. Right? That's a symptom of persons. The symptom of a person is they have desires. And as a consequence of the desires that we have, we are then given this vehicle. Right? You may want a Rolls Royce. Right? You may desire a Rolls Royce. But if you didn't do your homework and hand in your assignments, didn't get your degree, then you're just going to be a labourer. Right? And so even though you may desire a Rolls Royce, you'll just get a i20 Hyundai, right? If you're lucky. Or a Toyota or whatever. That might be elevated, actually. You might have to buy a second-hand car. Right? You won't get a new car, you'll get a second-hand car. So, now, Prabhupada says at the end of this purport, some say that there are five groups. So we've got the elementary elements, we've got the sense objects, we've got the senses, then we've got the working senses to move us around. The personality, in order to fulfill his desires, needs a body. And so with a body he gets the organs for acquiring knowledge, but he also gets that's the Gyanendriya, right, the knowledge acquiring senses. And then he also gets the karmendriya, the working senses. For the human beings, the tongue, or Prabhupada says here, speech, working senses, tongue. Well, he says here speech, but that's coming from the tongue. Also for eating. Tongue is, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, the tongue is a problem because it's used for two purposes. And it gets us into trouble. We speak nonsense and we eat rubbish. Right? Gets us in a lot of trouble. So, tongue, hands, feet, legs for walking around, hands for grabbing things, putting in the mouth. Very like children, right? Watch the little kids. They grab something, boom, straight in the mouth. Right? Anus, okay, what goes in has to come out, right? The nature of the material world. And genitals for procreation, also problematic, right? And Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Instruction how they're in a line. And if you don't control the tongue, then eventually you'll agitate the genitals. So, Prabhupada says there are some who say that there is another five groups, and that is the fifth group is the five deities who control these divisions. So there are the demigods, and the demigods, they're actually controlling all of the workings of the bodies. You know, there's a demigod that controls the blinking of the eyelids. Would you believe? We think we're doing it. And we can't see these deities. The deity of the mind, the deity of the false ego, the deity of the material energy. But they, the demigods or the deities that control these elements exist also. And so they're described as the fifth set of elements that make up the workings of the material body. The material body which has been given to us to facilitate our desire, which gets us into so much trouble. And so one of the prime activities of the bhakta, of the sadhaka, who performs his sadhana, is to purify those desires. If it's desire that got us into this mess, it's going to be desire that gets us out of it. It's not that we stop desire, right? Impossible. You can't stop the mind and you can't stop desire. So, one who knows the purpose, who's aware, who takes this information, especially from the Bhagavatam, rather than try to speculate, you know, they're saying that, I was reading in the Hindustan Times, they were saying that there's a satellite now that's getting to the outer reaches of the solar system, right, as conceived by the so-called scientists. And they say they're getting close to an asteroid belt. I can't remember what it's called. And they said, we can probably find out about the mysteries of the beginnings of the universe by looking at this asteroid belt. Huh? They're no closer than they were after looking at, you know, Mars, Uranus, Saturn, Pluto, whatever, they still don't know, right? Or, you know, now the big thing is, okay, we're not going to the moon, we're going to Mars, right? Despite the fact if you go there, you'll never come back, right? You'll never come back. You go to Mars, that's it, see you later. So, you know, this kind of material endeavour, mental speculation won't help us understand where we came from, why we're suffering, and what we can do about stopping this embarrassment. Material existence is an embarrassment. And we're fortunate in that by receiving this knowledge from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can unravel all of these connections between the different elements, the material elements, the sense objects that come about as a result of the presence of the elements, the senses that are able to observe these objects of the senses, and then the activities of the working senses. We can use all of those in a productive fashion by developing a proper understanding of who we are. Actually, we're not the body. This is our achintya bheda abheda tattva. On the one hand, we are the body, but on the other hand, we're not. Huh? And by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and studying how the material body is created, how it's put together by these descriptions, we can understand how to utilize it properly so that we can be liberated rather than incarcerated, right? The material energy is described like a prison house. And birth, death, old age and disease are just some of the pleasures that we get to enjoy while we're in the prison house, right? We need to understand that. Not very pleasant to think that I'm suffering as a result of my desires. That's why desire is so important. It needs to be purified. Otherwise, not purified, influenced by the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness, we stay in the material world and have to suffer. Whereas the Bhagavatam is teaching us, here's how it's all constructed, here's what you do with it to get out, to be released from that, Daiva Karma Netrena. Was it Daiva Karma? Yeah, we want to be released from our sinful reactions. And you know, this was Arjuna's perplexity. Why am I forced to act, even when I know that I shouldn't be doing it? I know I shouldn't, but I do. Why? Huh? Anybody had that experience? Huh? Occasionally. Why? So the Bhagavatam's going to tell us. So the material creation is made, but it sits. It sits for a while. Because the matter in and of itself, even though it's been created by the Lord through various potencies, without the full impetus coming from the Lord, it doesn't act. So it just sits there like an egg. Huh? 1,000 years. Niratmakaha, in an unconscious state. Sa agram vai vasha sahasram. We have Vasha Puja, right? Vasha Puja. So that means a year. Vasha means a year. Yearly puja. But here, Vasha Sahasram, 1,000 years. It just sits there. But then the Lord enters into as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then when the Lord enters in, it starts to move, starts to act. So, interesting descriptions here coming up. Anybody have any comments or questions? Yeah, or a mixture thereof. That's how I understand it. Each one of us is a particular mixture of the modes of nature. And so therefore we have, you know, saintly people, we have very passionate people, and we have, in Australian lingo, mugs, right? Just behave like animals. Or demigods, humans, and demons. Or, again, animals. Actually, the demons fall into the human category. There's suras and asuras in the human category. In Kali Yuga, there's a predominance of asuras. In the Satya Yuga, practically everybody is a devotee. Right? Everybody's a devotee. But in the Kali Yuga, watch out. You know, if you think things are going to get better, forget it. It's not the case. So we're thinking, oh yes, if we vote this government in, if we have this president, things are going to get better. No. It's just going to get worse. So, according to the combination of the modes of material nature influencing the false ego, then we get various types of bodies. That's my understanding. Anybody else have a real... I think that's right. That's what it says. Not very complicated. Only gets complicated when we start taking all of these things seriously. But the thing that we need to be serious about is chanting Hare Krishna and our sadhana, because that's our main activity. Especially chanting Hare Krishna is the yuga dharma. Kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam. There's no other way for us. So concentrating on chanting Hare Krishna is of prime importance for us, because we're basically begging Krishna, please engage me in your service. And Krishna is very kind. The spiritual master is very kind, and they allow us to perform devotional activities which purify us. And so those devotional activities are beyond the modes of material nature. And so even from a very low grade position, if one takes up the process of bhakti, one can be elevated very quickly. Right? This is a direct linking process, which is why we go out and chant Hare Krishna. You know, people are jumping up and down, sometimes they're drunk, you know, but they fall into the Harinam party and they start chanting, right? We encourage them. We don't say, oh, you're out of it, go away. Of course, you've got to keep your eye on drunk people, right? Because mode of ignorance is prominent. But they perform Agyata Sukriti and their devotional service starts. Might take some time to manifest, but the more a person associates with the process of devotional service, according to our Bhagavat Vidhi and our Pancharatra Vidhi, this is our two, Prabhupada says, like a railway line, has two tracks. So we put our devotional service on those two tracks of Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatra Vidhi. And then when it's situated on that, then we can progress to the goal. That's to go back home, back to Godhead. And the Pancharatra Vidhi especially puts us into the mode of goodness, forces us into the mode of goodness, right? So we've got to get up early, go to Mangalartik, learn how to chant the right tune. You've got a good voice, Pushpinda, you're a good singer. Learn the tune. It's not the 7 o'clock aarti. It's more meditative, very meditative, and we're meditating on this, on our relationship with the spiritual master. And that raga or that tune assists and supports that meditation. Make sense? Yeah. Anything else? Even the children, right? They benefit from coming here in the morning. You know, children are basically in a mode of ignorance. I don't mean to offend the parents, but this is the... I know they're little darlings, but let's face it, they're in a mode of ignorance. But they come in the morning to greet the deities and chant Hare Krishna. They like to dance. They like... And they just copy. Right? What's your daughter's name?
Sylvia.
She wanted to pick up the microphone and bring it over here. Huh? She can see that what we're doing. She wants to do it too. Service. Service is natural to everybody. Even Krishna likes to serve. Or not just even Krishna. Actually, service comes from Krishna in the form of his internal potency, Srimati Radharani. But even Krishna... The internal energy is so attractive to Krishna, and that mood of service that's inherent or natural to the internal energy is attractive to Krishna. So he wants to be a servant too. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya. Because the service mood is so attractive, even Krishna wants to do it. Right? So the kids want to do it. So the bhakti process is powerful by itself. It'll work. You know, even if people are chanting Hare Krishna and just laughing, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 you know, or even chanting around the wrong way, still they'll get a benefit. Okay, let's finish here. Gantaraj Himan Bhagavatam, Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Ki Jai Hare Krishna.